we're going to do now is have combination of annual report plus message. And so part of this, we lost Pastor Chris too. Oh, there you are. Would you give us an update on Living Water?
Hey, it's really good to be back here with you guys. We miss you. We miss being here. We miss seeing Yoshi, having fun with all the kids, and just all the things that happen here. We're doing well. So we've had some challenges as we expected. It's been an adventure. But we have a great group of church planters that are just rolling with everything. So we have had three services on our own so far. On Sunday evenings, we're meeting at 4:30 and starting our service at 5, hoping to create some space for building community kind of there in the beginning. And we had a great space for a great price for 2 weeks. And then... And I'm still piecing together the story, but it seems that the owner of the business who was leasing us the space sold his business very abruptly to a larger gym company, and so we're out of spot. So we are currently looking for permanent space, but we're rolling with it and doing well. But that's something you can be praying for. We have a couple irons in the fire. We have one particularly interesting space that would be permanent space, which would give us a lot of opportunity to do some real ministry downtown, maybe reach out to some of the schools and some things and have some after school things or other things like that going on. So we're praying about where we're going to meet regularly. But in the meantime, we've been meeting. We met at a park last week. We're going to meet at another park this week. And our team has been, I haven't heard any complaints or even got a hint of frustration. We're just kind of letting God guide us wherever God leads us. And so we're learning along the way. We're getting to know each other. We've added a few people so far. But we haven't really, you know, this time that we've been meeting together has been primarily just sort of our church plant team. We haven't made a real big effort to invite others to come yet. We're sort of in welcoming whoever shows up. But even before we've really made an effort to get the word out, we've still had some new people coming, and it's been really good. So our worship services have been a real blessing to me, and I think our church plant team would say that that's been true for them too. And so, yeah, we're doing well. We're excited about the future. At first, we were planning on May 15th, a big sort of opening day, and we were going to sort of say we are an open church. But we kind of decided we're already open, so why pretend that we're not open yet? And so we're kind of just changing how we talk about it. We want to have a big kickoff celebration. We don't have a place to meet yet, so we'll see if we push that back. But that's kind of where we're at. We've been getting food ministries organized. We're eating together on Sundays already. We've been getting childcare ministries organized. We're going to have small groups starting in a few weeks. And, yeah, we're blessed and we're excited. We have a church in East Village. We are a church. And we've been going through the lectionary, and one of the things that we've been learning is we've been kind of following the story of Peter. And what we've seen as a consistent theme in this story is how Jesus passes his ministry and his mission onto Peter and onto the new church. And so what we've seen is that the work of Christ doesn't stop when Jesus dies, resurrected, and ascends, but it continues in the hands of Peter and in the hands of the early disciples, and it continues now in our hands. And so we've seen that responsibility shift to us, and we're trying to take up that mission and take up the work of Christ and allow Jesus to work through us as a community, and we're seeing it happen. So that's where we're at.
Well, for my report, we are going to turn to Ezekiel to start with. No surprise. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And some of you are fearful that we're going back to the beginning. But Ezekiel 2, 1, and I'm going to read a little bit, and then we'll shift gears slightly. So Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I'd sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me, for the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. And he said to me, son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kibar River, and there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you for the privilege of being together this morning, and we thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would indeed speak afresh to us, that you would give us ears to hear you and hearts to receive you, and that we might be mindful to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. We also ask you to be with DeAndre and all of those working with him and ministering to the children today. We pray your anointing upon their time together as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the passage I read for you is actually going to serve more as an illustration today than anything else. And my real text is over in Hebrews, but I couldn't resist reading Ezekiel. And so turn with me to Hebrews. It's a very short text. It's where we've been living on Friday nights. And so we've been in Ezekiel on Sunday mornings, but those who come out to the Friday night adult Bible study, we've been making our way through Hebrews. And I want to direct our attention to the last verse of chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And going on into chapter 11, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. This is a passage that I long to be true of us, long to be true of me. That we are not of those who shrink back, but we are of those who believe. That we are of those who have faith. That we are of those who follow through on the faith that we have, rather than shrinking back in the face of difficulties, shrinking back in the face of challenges, whatever it might be. And this is where the Ezekiel passage fits in. Because when I think about those who have not shrunk back, Ezekiel did not shrink back. We spent a year with Ezekiel, and if we know anything about Ezekiel, the one thing that we saw was that he did not shrink back from being faithful to God's word, faithful to the vision that God gave him, and he spoke to his people time and again. And his message was a very difficult message, and yet he never shrunk back. He had to deliver message after message of judgment where people didn't want to hear it. And he probably didn't want to hear it. Remember, he wanted to go home and become that priest at age 30. And instead of being able to go home and begin his time of service in the temple, that's when the Lord shows up to him in the text that I read this morning and gives him this word that he is going to be a prophet. And he is going to have to confront his people with their waywardness, with their sinfulness. So he was given a hard message, a message of judgment, and he did not shrink back. And he was told that you are going to be sent to a hard people. And in the face of hard people, he did not shrink back. God gave him the strength to be hard in the face of hard people. And so this meant he was going to have a hard life. And a hard life not simply in terms of having to deal with obstinate people that didn't want to hear what he had to say, but he was also a captive in Babylon. He had been uprooted from Jerusalem and taken captive. So his life was hard in terms of experiencing God's judgment himself, and then his life was hard in terms of, in the midst of that judgment, having to speak hard words to people who didn't want to hear it. And he didn't shrink back. He was given that scroll to eat, and he could see that on it was bitterness and woe. And he ate the scroll. And it tasted sweet as honey. There's nothing that compares to doing what God calls you to do. And yet at the same time, we saw that he was filled with indignation, with pain, because of what he was called to do. And yet he never shrunk back. And then what we have seen over the past several months is that he also didn't shrink back when he had the message of salvation. That when Jerusalem finally came crashing down to the Babylonians because God's judgment had been executed upon them, that when the temple was in shambles, it was in rubbish, Ezekiel had a new word. Ezekiel was given a message of salvation. And I know that when we hear that he has a message of salvation, whether that's in terms of dry bones being resurrected to life, whether that's in terms of God coming to shepherd the people himself and being a good shepherd, whether that's in terms of the new temple, a new vision of that new temple, and how God is there in that place, that sounds like that would be a pretty easy message to deliver. But the problem is the timing of it. That it was a hard message to believe because everything was in shambles and ruins. And so to preach such hope in an unbelievably difficult situation, it becomes a hard message to preach because it's a hard message to believe. And so throughout his ministry, he had difficult words to deliver, even when they were good words, because nobody could believe that there would be good after the destruction that took place. And he didn't shrink back. He never shrunk back from believing, from proclaiming, from testifying to what God showed him, to the word that God had given him. Ezekiel had the conviction and the courage to live towards a reality, a revealed reality that only he could see. That the people in Babylon with him, they couldn't see the temple coming down. But Ezekiel lived towards that reality, even though nobody else could see it. And that Ezekiel proclaimed a vision of regathering and transformation and resurrection and new temple and healed land, transformed to like the Garden of Eden, and nobody could see it. They could only see war-torn Jerusalem and ravaged mountain after mountain in Israel. But Ezekiel saw it. He had that revelation, and so he proclaimed it, and he did not shrink back. And that would be what I would want said of us, that we too are not a people that shrinks back, that we don't shrink back from what God shows us, that we don't shrink back from the news of the gospel, that we are of those who believe and that we live. Ultimately, Jesus fulfills Ezekiel. And I don't mean fulfilling Ezekiel in terms of just Jesus fulfilling the message of Ezekiel, that Jesus actually fulfills the person of Ezekiel. That Ezekiel the man is a foreshadowing of Jesus. That Jesus endures the cross for the reality of the resurrection, the ascension. Jesus endures the cross for the reality of salvation. And so just as Ezekiel kind of bore within himself his message, and he experiences God's judgment, and then he sees this day, this vision of resurrection. And so Ezekiel kind of embodies it himself, but Jesus is going to embody it even more so. So that Jesus doesn't just kind of go through a judgment, but that Jesus is the sin offering of that judgment. That Jesus gives himself on the cross, and he doesn't shrink back from that. The passage that the service was opened with this morning from the Gospel of John, Jesus recognizes that his hour has come. And it's the hour of his return to the Father. But he returns through the cross. And so it's not simply the hour of a glorious return. It's an hour of a painful return. And so he's troubled in his spirit. And he even cries out, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Right there, it's his moment to shrink back. And he doesn't. He says, "No, it was for this very hour that I came." And then it's only by surrendering, it's only by yielding, it's only by embracing God's call upon his life that he will actually live and that he will give life. And so he goes forward. He doesn't shrink back. And he holds fast to the reality that he can see that nobody else can see, to the reality that he's actually returning to the Father and that many will be saved because he gives his life. Jesus is ultimate fulfillment of Ezekiel. And you and I, we are here because Jesus didn't shrink back. I mean, that's the bottom line. The only reason we are here is because when Jesus was at that tipping point, if you will, does he shrink back and hold on to his life? Or does he keep believing and keep moving forward and give his life? That we're here because he didn't shrink back. But he believed and he went forward. And so we are saved. And we are also here because countless others didn't shrink back in their faith and in their obedience to Jesus. And I'd like for you to just kind of stop for a moment and think, who didn't shrink back in your life? And that's why you're here today. I mean, yes, ultimately Jesus, but who are the people that you know face to face in the flesh? You can name them. And the reason why you're here today and proclaiming Christ and worshiping him is because they did not shrink back. Anybody want to name a name? Okay. Anybody else? You're here because that person didn't shrink back. Grandparents. Your parents. Anybody else? See, we're all here today because Jesus gave himself and didn't shrink back. And then others heard his call, and they didn't shrink back. Pastor Chris just mentioned about how they've been looking at Peter. and how Jesus is passing on this ministry to Peter, and it will be continued through Peter and through the church. And it's a ministry, it's a life of not shrinking back from believing and living according to the reality of resurrection, living according to the reality of Jesus' lordship and the hope that we have in Christ. And so we can each name people in our lives that we are here because they did not shrink back. And I also think about the church on this corner. That Southeast Church of the Nazarene is here because there are people across the years that did not shrink back. And I think about those three founding families. I think about the Grays, I think about the Bowmans, I think about the Glazes. Three families started meeting on this corner in 1962, and they did not shrink back. And they faced challenges, they faced obstacles, they had things that had to be worked out, but they did not shrink back from what God called them to do. And so because of those three families and because of their vision to be able to see a church where there was no church, to be able to see life on a corner where Christ would be praised, where it was a vacant corner, they didn't shrink back. And because of their faithfulness and their ability to see something that nobody else could see, we are here today. They lived by faith rather than simply by what was in front of them or what people said could or could not be done. And I think back when I think of kind of people who didn't shrink back. I think of families who have sustained this place across the years. And I think especially when Vaughn and I came back in the summer of 1987, that it was because some people didn't shrink back that there was actually a place to come to. And there was basically two or three families that were keeping this place open. Some by their presence, some by their giving. But I think maybe that first Sunday, how many were here, Vonda?
17.
And probably half of those were kids or youth. And so there was Sister Lynn and Brother Frank keeping the doors open through their generosity. There is Brother Mac and Brother Artis keeping the doors open by bringing their children and their children's friends. And because those few did not shrink back, there was a church to come to. There was a church that was looking for a pastor rather than looking to close its doors. Didn't shrink back. And I think across the years that we've been here, people who did not shrink back and decisions where we didn't shrink back. And yeah, there are some decisions where we shrunk, but I remember those that we especially did not shrink. And I remember when we met with the district superintendent and Sister Gussie said that it was time that we quit depending upon the district and that we started trusting God. For years, we received monthly support from the district, monthly financial support. And Sister Gussie could see a day that we didn't have to do that. And so she called us all to live towards that unseen reality that God would supply our needs, that we didn't have to depend upon the district to keep our doors open. And her testimony, her boldness, her not shrinking back empowered us all to move towards that day and to let go of district support, district financial support, and to be able to not shrink back in the face of how are we going to make it financially. And then it was a few years later when the opportunity came to buy the house and to buy the property over here. And again, we didn't shrink back. And I'm happy to say that we have not shrunk back. We have not shrunk back in our giving. That there would be plenty of opportunity to shrink back in giving, to shrink back in tithing. And no matter what the challenge has been financially, you have not shrunk back from your trust in God. You have not shrunk back from your giving. You have not shrunk back from believing that as we give, that as we tithe, God will take care of the church and God will take care of you and your household. You haven't shrunk back. This year, in case you're wondering about numbers, I'm supposed to tell you some numbers at this report. But this year, in terms of funds raised for all purposes, we have seen come in $179,377.93. This year, have not shrunk back. Now, you might want to know that one of those gifts that came in was $40,000. Well, just a little bit under. $40,000 from someone who didn't shrink back even when they died. They kept giving. Didn't shrink back. But you also, if you do the math, you take out that $40,000, and that means that there was $139,000 that came in through your faithful giving, through your tithing, through the Lord tapping upon people's shoulders who heard about what you were doing, and they gave. They didn't shrink back from the movement of the Spirit. So I just want to applaud you and praise God for you, for your faithfulness in not shrinking back. And then I think about our children's ministry and the challenges that come with Sunday mornings and Friday nights and kids coming in and out. And I don't have to say a lot. But the question that comes to my mind is, can anything good come from Nazareth? Because that would be the question that people ask about here. Can anything really good come from here? Now, you know that we believe otherwise. But you know that that is the perception, that that is the attitude. Can anything good come from here, from the children here? Will the children ever amount to anything from here? And we hear way too many statistics, and we know what the perception is across the city. And yet, right now, Pastor D and company are working with our children because they see that strong followers of Jesus come from here. That our children are not just statistics waiting to happen, that they are disciples. That they have within them, by the grace of God, the potential, the ability to be children who don't shrink back in the call to follow Jesus. And so Pastor D and all those who work with him, Sister Vonda, all of those, Alex who helps teach, and Melissa, and countless of you, recognize that what can come out of this place? Children who don't shrink back from following Jesus. And so investing in teaching them that now so that they can believe in the hope of the resurrection and the hope of living a holy life and a right life and knowing the joy that comes from God no matter what we face. There's a lot that can come from here. I think about callings. And it just pleases me, as much as sometimes it's painful, that we're a people that does not shrink back from callings. And sometimes that means there are goodbyes. And so Phil and Kat, we had the joy of their presence with us and seeing their children born and seeing their children start to grow and seeing Phil and Kat grow and help out in various ways, and they didn't shrink back. And as God began to lay upon them and move them towards a ministry in another church, a recovery ministry, they didn't shrink back from that. And we didn't shrink back from blessing them in that. Amen. And so they could see God doing something that maybe the rest of us couldn't see. Maybe we could see it. But they didn't shrink back from being faithful and from believing and from following. I think about Living Water and Pastor Chris and Rachel and the whole team of you that are with them. Being able to see a church down in the East Village when very few people can see a church down there, and not shrinking back from it. And everybody thinks that the big news is whether or not the Chargers are going to build a stadium down there. But the real news is that God is building a church down there. And that may not make headlines anywhere, but that's okay, because we can see it. You can see it. And you're not going to shrink back from what God is calling you to. We are a people that doesn't shrink back from the callings of God. Rodney has been here, and it'd be very easy for him to just kind of settle in here. And yet Rodney's going to be leaving this summer, not shrinking back from a call towards biblical studies and eventually a PhD. And so not shrinking back in terms of the things that God calls us to together, but also not shrinking back in terms of God's particular callings upon our lives. That we're a people that doesn't shrink back. We believe. And it's a day and age when it's hard to see a PhD in biblical studies and having a job on the other side of it. But we talked about that a while back. But he's moving, Rodney is moving according to what God is showing him, not according to what job statistics there might be. We don't shrink back from what God calls us to. Ben is moving in this summer to Redemption House just a couple weeks from now to work with our youth. And again, we're a people that doesn't shrink back. And so Ben could very have easily gone home to Visalia and worked in a well-oiled youth machine. All kinds of structure, all kinds of involvement, all kinds of finances. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine. I'm not sure what we are. We're loose parts. But not shrinking back from it to what God has called him to. Mario hasn't shrunk back from the things that God has put before him in terms of the community garden and the art that he's involved in. And many of you have not shrunk back at your workplaces. And through difficult and transitional times, Jose and Melissa, you have not shrunk back. Tony, you have not shrunk back. I mean, I could go through each and every one of you where I see that you hold fast to what God has called you to and hold fast to the vision that God has given you for your life in Christ. John, Mold, you haven't shrunk back. I don't think you've even deteriorated. And this is what I long for to be true about us. And it's exciting to think back about this past year and the changes that we've been through and new callings and goodbyes and transitions and challenges and obstacles, and to realize that we can say, well, it's at least a little true that we haven't shrunk back from what God has called us to and for the visions that God has given us. And so my prayer for this coming year is really those three verses in Hebrews 12 that we heard read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Notice we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is not just our example. Jesus is our author. Jesus is our perfecter. Jesus is the one who empowers us and who enables us to not shrink back, but to hold fast in faith, to keep persevering. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that we don't lose heart. No matter how challenging the call, no matter how great the obstacle, no matter how easy it might be, that we fix our eyes on Jesus. So one of the ways that we are going to fix our eyes on Jesus is beginning next week, we will start working through the Gospel of Luke. And as we move through the Gospel of Luke, we will find our eyes being fixed ever more closely on Jesus. And whatever challenges and callings that this new church year might hold, we will continue to pray and trust that by the power of the Holy Spirit, these words will be true of us, that we don't shrink back, that we do fix our eyes upon Jesus, and that we don't lose heart. We don't shrink back. We don't give up. We don't just go by what we can see. But we are of those who don't shrink back because our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And so I invite you to stand, and we will take communion this morning together. And Rodney, if you will lead us in Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I invite you to come and to receive the bread and receive the cup, and we will take communion together.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. And great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning. I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.